Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Family Church Corey. Hallelujah. Almost said Mayville, but praise the Lord. We know it's Corey. It's not Mayville. Amen. But welcome to Family Church Corey tonight. I'm excited for the word. I'm excited for what God has for us, you know. Praise the Lord. God is good. You know, there just seems there's so much, there just was so much there in the songs and even in the scriptures ahead of time, you know, about peace. You know, God wants us to live in peace. Amen. God's number one. In fact, God leads us through peace. He leads us through peace in the spirit. Amen. But peace in the, we can't, if we're living a chaotic life, we can't be led by God. And you know, the leading of God always leads us into righteousness. It always leads us into the things that we need. It always leads us into the right direction. Our answer is always found by and through the leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Amen. I said it's always found there. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you what, I get excited about that. The more I seek God, the more that He's been teaching me about being led by peace. And I've made it. And you know, this afternoon I was thinking about peace as I was meditating just in with the Lord. Amen. You know, when I talk about meditating, I'm not talking about like this as the Buddhists. Are they Buddhists? Are they the ones that meditate? And somebody else, other people meditate. I don't know. I'm not talking about the way they meditate. I'm talking about the way the scripture tells us to meditate. Amen. We got to meditate on the word. We got to think about the word. We got to let the word get in us. We got to let the, you know, that's the best kind of meditation you can have. Amen. Praise the Lord. You don't have to burn incense or anything like that. You can put good smelly stuff in your house. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes, you know, if you need good smelly stuff in your house, well, praise the Lord, then use it. Amen. But you don't need incense is what I'm saying to contact the realm of the spirit. And you don't want just the realm of the spirit. You want God's realm in the spirit. Amen. Because if you're just seeking after spiritual things, well, you can, how many know you can get into a lot of goofy things. Amen. I like documentaries and stuff. And I was just recently watching one about a serial killer. Well, praise the Lord. I'm interested in history. Amen. And so I watched one about a serial killer. But one of the things that he talked about when they were interviewing him was one of the things they were talking about is how he was moved and directed by it seemed like an otherworldly thing. Amen. It wasn't that. Well, how many know that's a spirit? It's spiritual. You know, people don't kill people based just on their desire to kill people. But if there's a desire to kill people, it's spiritual. Amen. It's a murderous spirit. Amen. And, we want to be careful of that. We want to be careful about what spirits that we're contacting or being around. Amen. That's why we don't go to psychics and things like that, because all that stuff will just lead you into a bad place. And, of course, you don't want that. I don't want that. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that. That's not my message, but just to let you know that God wants you to live in peace. Amen. God wants you to have peace, and if you don't have peace, you can't hear from God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Tonight's message is called, Did You Receive the Download? Amen. And you know us, we're being real. We got to be real relevant. Praise the Lord. We got to be real. We got to be, we name our messages just on purpose so we can connect with the youth and connect with the things that are going on in the world. Praise the Lord. You know, everything is, we have a very informational society with of course, that's all a joke, you know, praise the Lord. But, we have a very information-based society where everything is, we're downloading things all the time. But we want to make sure, again, talking about the spiritual world, we want to make sure our downloads are right. Amen. We want to be downloading the right things. Praise the Lord. And so, I just thought about this as I was preparing this message. Did you receive, actually the name came before the message came, but praise God. Did you receive the download? And we're going to be talking tonight about God's downloads. Amen. We're going to be talking about what God's trying to get over to us. Because how many know that God's trying to get stuff over to us all the time? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Have you ever got that message on your computer? If you have a computer, a phone, it says something is trying to install something on your computer or your phone, amen. And then it asks you if you'll accept that. Praise the Lord. You know that question is asking you, and it's asking you to receive what is trying to be downloaded, amen. Well, the same thing is with God. If we want to receive what God has, or if we want to get what God has for us, we have to receive it, amen. It's not enough to just say to wait for it or to, you know, just like you're on your computer, unless you click the yes button, unless you say yes, you're not going to receive what God's trying to get to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. To accept God's download is to verbalize it, is to respond. I've been learning more and more as I've been spending time with the Father that He has been directing me to respond to what He's saying to me. Yeah. Amen? I said He's like directing me to respond to what He's saying to me. Yeah. How many know you can get you can get something in the spirit, you can get something at church, you can get something as you're reading your word, God will speak to you, and if He hasn't, well, you should be listening more because He's trying to, amen. But how many know that if God's trying, you can get all that stuff, but there is a response on your part that God desires. God desires you to recognize, yes, verbally even, recognize that you are receiving that you want to receive what He's trying to get to you. Amen. And so many people, so many Christians take a very passive approach. They take a very active approach when it comes to the devil, in the sense that when the devil suggests something, they receive it and they receive it loudly. Amen. You know, we got to think about the way the world does things and just do things opposite. If you haven't learned that yet. But the devil put a thought in your head, and what is the first thing that you're inspired to do when something bad happens? What's the first thing that you're inspired to do? You're inspired to talk about it, aren't you? You're inspired to tell somebody, aren't you? You're inspired to go. It just seems like it's almost like uncontrollable. You almost have to do it, amen? And you got to talk about it more and more and more and more. And why do you suppose that is? Because the devil knows that there's power in our words. The devil knows that when we respond to something, when we verbalize something, because the devil doesn't have creative power in his voice, but he knows that we do. And so as we respond to things, we can speak things into existence that don't need to be there. We can start talking like the devil wants us to talk just by responding to what he has us to do. But see, so many Christians, they don't realize that God is trying to get them to do the same thing, and there's no response at all. You may even get a revelation and there's no response. There's no, yes, Lord. I mean, literally saying, yes, Lord, I see that. I'll do that, God. I'll do that. I understand what you're trying to get me to do. I understand what you're trying to get me to see. You know, and I don't mean that we need to respond by going and telling everybody what God's telling us. We shouldn't do that. Amen. That's not what God wants us to do either. But God is desiring that we respond to Him, that we receive from Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians? I know you want the scripture. Praise the Lord, right? We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20. Praise God. Hallelujah. What it says, 2 Corinthians 1, praise the Lord, and verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Praise the Lord. Well, this scripture on the surface might not necessarily make a lot of sense to you. And so we decided to bring this up in the Amplified, to pull it out a little bit. Amen. Look at what it says in the Amplified. For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes, their answer, in Him, in Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen, so be it, to God through Him, in His person, and by His agency, to the glory of God. But notice what it says. It says, for this reason, we also utter the amen. Amen, the word amen, literally means, now that's something if you've been raised in any kind of church background, you know that when you pray, what do you say at the end of your prayer? You say amen, amen. That's what we say, amen. And sometimes if you got a real excited church, amen. Praise the Lord. What do we hear in church? We hear amen. But what is this word, amen? What does it mean? It means so be it. Literally, it means so be it. It's interesting that the church, you get some very religious churches, some old-time religion churches, like a Catholic church, and you hear, amen, and they drag it out. They make it sound real spiritual, real deep, you know what I mean, or amen, or whatever. And I remember as growing up as a kid, that was always the thing. That was the end of it, And we just knew it was the end of the prayer or end of the song or the end of the sentence, but we never really understood what it meant. But it literally means, so be it. Amen. What it's saying is, be it so. It means that this thing that was said, amen, so be it. It's a response. Hallelujah. It's not just something we say to close out the prayer. It's a response. Yeah. And of course, I was never taught this growing up. But when you're praying and you're speaking to God and you're having a conversation with God, and maybe you've asked him some things or you've put some things before God, when you say amen, you are literally saying, so be it. The thing that you're telling God that the thing that I just prayed for, I believe it's going to happen. So be it. So be it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Of course, now we know, we've been taught, you know, later on, a lot of us got taught to say, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, why do we say in Jesus' name, amen? Because when we say in Jesus' name, we're using the authority that Christ gave us, and we're saying by the name of Jesus, by his authority, not by mine, because I don't have any authority on my own accord, but by his authority, so be it. Praise the Lord. And so that's what we're saying. But it says here that the amen is spoken. For this reason, we utter the amen to God. Praise the Lord. We utter the amen. You know, in context, it's talking about when something is preached, we utter amen. Why do you hear people speaking out in our churches? Often it's because people are taught in our churches that it's important to respond to the word that's being preached. Why do we respond? Because we're saying to God, yes, I recognize that that's you, God, and I agree wholeheartedly with it. Amen. Now, saying amen in church is a way that we actually receive what God is trying to get over to us. Because we're receiving it by words. We're saying, yes, that's true. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But much more than this, I think I've said this before, that, you know, the purpose of church is, this is where we practice how to live. Amen. This is how we practice how to live in the things of God, the things that God has for us, to walk those things out. This is where we practice. Church isn't just the end of the week thing we do just to have something to do. No, church is where we learn how to live the rest of the week. And so we need to make a practice of doing things. The reason, like we always say, the reason why we teach people to praise in church is because when you won't praise in church, you won't praise out there. And if you want to get through your trials easier, you need to learn how to praise God. You need to learn how to verbalize it. Some people say, well, I praise God on the inside. That's not what praise means. That's not what praise is. It's like saying I'm shouting quietly. It doesn't make any sense. Amen. You can shout quietly all day long, but you're still not going to get very loud. Amen. A shout is something that you put out. That's a shout. Amen. Praise the Lord. The first part of it is shh, and that's where a lot of people say. But we need to get to the end, which says out. So you can start with shh, but go out. Hallelujah. Take it out. Cast it out. Get it out. Amen. Shout it out. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Anybody remember that song? I think it was back in the 60s. Shout. Yeah, they make you want to shout. It wasn't a quiet song, was it? Make me want to shout. They start a little bit louder now, a little bit louder. They're working you up, amen? You started with the shush, but then they got to the out, amen? Well, praise God. So we need to learn how to speak out, amen? I love when we look at the parable of Jesus, when he comes up to the fig tree, and the fig tree just presented him nothing but lack. What did Jesus do? As the Bible says, he responded. He responded. Why is it? The Bible didn't throw these words in there just as an accident or just because it sounded good. You know, sometimes when I'm writing a poem, I like to write poems, praise the Lord, but sometimes when I'm writing a poem, I go to my thesaurus because I want a word that rhymes and I want it to sound a little bit smarter, you know? So when someone reads my poem, they're like, hey, he's pretty smart. Look at the words he used. Praise the Lord. I've actually written poems and gone back and read them and had no idea what they meant just because I couldn't remember what the word meant. Hallelujah. This has happened. True story. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, a lot of people who are intelligent can tell when somebody is using a word out of context because they use it in a way that they shouldn't use it anyways. But, well, praise the Lord. But it's fun. Amen. But we need to, the Bible emphasizes things for a reason. The Bible says that Jesus responded to it as a way of showing us that we need to respond to lack in our life. We need to respond to things that aren't right in our life. We need to respond to God, things that are good in our life. Because Jesus also, you know, in one part, Jesus actually said, he was like, he spoke out to the Father and he said, Lord, I thank you that you hear me. And he said, but I know that you always hear me, but I didn't say it for my benefit. I said it for their benefit. That's what he actually said that in Scripture. He said, I didn't say it for my benefit because I know that you always hear me. Praise the Lord. But he said, I thank you that you hear me, because he wanted other people to understand that God is listening to him and that he knows that God is listening to him. And in the same way, we need to respond to God. We need to speak to God. Lord, I hear what you're saying. Amen. You know, I recently saw, praise the Lord, I wish I could preach this in Mayville, but I recently saw, maybe I will, I don't know, but I recently saw a leader that I know in the body of Christ, a leader in a church, you know, a leader of worship, but he posted a really neat, just a sentence direction. He said, it was basically like direction for leaders. I'm going to hack it up a little bit, but you'll get the idea of what I'm talking about. But he said, direction for leaders. He said, if somebody who is under your dominion, that's the only word that comes to me, but jurisdiction, amen. So if you're a leader, somebody that's under your jurisdiction, if you send them a message and they don't respond to you, take note of it, because they don't respect you.
That's right.
Because respect shows that a response shows that you respect the one who is telling you, amen. You know, I still have yet to be able to get a message or even miss a phone call from my pastor and not be like freaking out about it on the inside. You know what I'm saying? Like that. That's just one of those things. Like I learned years ago, I learned to have my phone on 24 hours a day. I still do. Why? Because I was waiting for that phone call. Amen. And you know, the same thing applies, is that when you respect somebody, you will respond. And I've actually sent people messages. I've sent people encouraging messages only to have nothing ever responded. And I know that those people don't respect what I was saying. How do I know? Because they never responded. And that I took note of that, because I just liked that somebody else picked up on that too. But it's the absolute truth. When somebody doesn't respond, especially to somebody who is over them, or somebody who is you understand what I mean by over them, you know, we're talking about people that are, in leadership versus, you know, it's like my kids didn't respond to me, man, they get slapped upside the head. I'm just telling you the truth right now. My kids always respond to me. Why? Because they know that they're going to get slapped upside the head if they don't respond to me. Amen. And they're going to respond, not just respond to me, but they're going to respond to me correctly. We got my daughter, we got her this thing, it's called a gizmo watch. It's a thing that we can, it keeps track of where she's at all times. Not that we don't know, but we always know, but it's this nice feature. But one of the things it does is it can call and can be called by a few pre-programmed numbers. We decide she can't call, and every time that she calls somebody or somebody calls her, an alarm goes off on one of our phones and lets us know who's calling and how long the conversation was for. So it was basically for an emergency purpose type of thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. But one of the first times that I called her, she answered. She goes, yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm not just trying to pick on her, because she's a wonderful girl. She said, listen, she just wasn't trained yet. Amen. She never had her own phone. But I was like, no. Like, you don't answer my call by saying yeah ever again. Praise the Lord. And she got understood what I was saying, you know, because that, what is that? That's a sign of disrespect, right? To just be like casual about it. Like, and she didn't know that, you know, I want to make sure you know that she wasn't being rude to me on purpose or anything. She was just like, oh, you know, answering her watch. Hallelujah. And, but that what I did though, is I corrected that. But see, the thing is, we have to teach our kids how to respond and hear from us correctly, because if we don't teach them how to respond and hear from us correctly, they'll never respond and hear from God correctly. And it's important, and this is why we've trained, and this is why we're a stickler for teaching our kids right. When you talk to an adult, or when an adult talks to you, you talk back to them, and you talk respectfully. These are just things that kids have to learn to do, amen? They're not going to do them on their own accord, but we teach them to do that, because you have to build that honor and respect in them. But the same thing goes with God. When God is talking to us, so often we're just like, oh, that was neat, and go on with your day. But God wants a response too. And if there's anyone deserving of a response, it's God. Now, I'm not saying that if you're in Walmart and all of a sudden God speaks to you, that you got to shout out, praise the Lord, thank you, God, for telling me that. Because somebody might come get you, amen? They might not quite understand what you're doing. But you can still respond, and God understands that. He's not expecting you to. But there is an idea that we have to get to that place where we're used to responding to God. And another thing that it does, and this is something that I've learned, it's not for God. God doesn't need to, in the sense, he doesn't need to hear us say yes to him. We need it. We need to do it. We need to be, because here's the thing. When you don't keep track of something, when you don't purpose to do something, you'll just kind of do stuff and you won't even think about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? You'll forget all about it. You forget it. But when you respond to it, when you make it a habit to respond to it, it does something on the inside of you. Yeah. It says, have you ever done that? You've been having a conversation with somebody, you've been talking to them, and you can tell that, you know, they're maybe on their phone or something. We're all guilty of this, right? But you can tell that they're distracted by it. You know that they didn't, they're just saying, They're not, they're not hearing a word you said. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I do this with my wife, unfortunately, too much. Amen. She'll say something to me. I even said to her today, I was like, how can I have no recollection of that? She said, because sometimes you just get too distracted. And see, that's the truth. I can get too distracted. But we don't want to get too distracted with God. You know, it's easy to get distracted in this day and age of distraction. If there's anything that would describe this time period that we live in well, it would be distraction. People are distracted. They're distracted from God. And don't think, listen, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's a blessing for us. Technology, it's a blessing for us. I'm not saying get rid of it. But we have to know that we have to be careful, because if it distracts us from God, then we'll never fulfill the plan that he has for us. And then we can't walk in the peace that he has for us. Amen? You know, the distraction is kind of like chaos. If you ever, I'm the type of person that if we go to a restaurant and there's a lot going on, if it's really busy, if it's really loud, I won't hear anything that you say to me. Yeah. Why? Because I'm a person that picks up on things all around me all the time. That's kind of part of my personality. I see things. If I go in, I see things that's out of place. We'll see things that are out of order. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? That's just kind of something in my personality. But if there's a lot of distraction, it's chaotic to me and I can't concentrate. I have this coffee shop that I like to go to that I prepare a lot of my sermons. I do a lot of studying there. And one of the reasons that, and there's a little background noise, but one of the reasons that I love going there is because there's just a little background noise. There's not a ton of noise. There's not a ton of people trying to talk to me generally or anything like that. And so I can go there and really get in the word. Now they have this machine at this coffee because they actually roast their own coffee, which is pretty cool. Praise the Lord. But they have this machine at the coffee shop that at some stage in whatever they're doing, it just kicks on and all of a sudden it's just a really loud, just like that. It's just like super, it's like way louder than it should be. And it's like when I first hear it, it makes me want to punch something. You know what I mean? It's just like that you tense up and you're like, what? You know what I mean? Like, who's attacking me kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Well, you know, when that goes off, it just kills that distraction. You know, I could be right in the middle of something really good and just, you know, hearing from the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I hear it from the Spirit all the time in the coffee shop. Hallelujah. He speaks to me all the time wherever I go. But I'm sitting there and all of a sudden, but when that thing goes off, you forget everything else. Why? Because it's chaos. Loud noise is chaos. That's why we need to protect our homes. Our homes, if you have children in your home, should not be chaotic. I understand that kids play. I understand that kids roughhouse sometimes. And all that stuff is fine. But it shouldn't be constant chaos. It shouldn't be constant, oh, praise the Lord. I know people whose houses are like that, where their kids control the house. They run the house. It's just like, all the time. Listen, you can't have peace in a situation like that. You have to get control of those types of things. It's important that we control, praise the Lord, our homes. Because we can't, and this makes sense, praise the Lord, I'm going into some of the peace stuff I was talking. You know, a lot of this is just coming out by the Spirit, right? I hope you understand that I'm preaching according to the Spirit, praise the Lord, and using the message. But God wants to speak to us, but he can't speak to us if we're in a place of lack of peace. If, you know, if there's just stuff, all of a sudden, there's all kinds of things going on. I don't know about you, but if I'm in a room, praise the Lord, that's a complete mess, that's just all kind of messy and stuff like that, I can't meditate in there or pray. I can't concentrate on anything. Why? Because it's chaos. God doesn't work in chaos. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Even companies get this when they have you on the phone, this idea of response. Have you ever heard, you called somebody, called some business, some company online, you know, or whatever, or yeah, some company online. You call some company that, you know, you have to get through to, and they, what do they ask? They'll ask you for your response. They want your yes or your no. They say, do you understand that you will be recorded? Stuff like that. They need that permission, amen? Just the same, God needs our permission to speak, for him to speak to us, to receive what he has for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus died for everybody. Is there anybody Jesus didn't die for? Jesus died for everybody, right? Who are those that get Jesus, that get benefit from Jesus dying for them? The ones who responded. The ones who receive what Jesus did. And the same thing is with if we can look at all things through the eyes of salvation, that if we're going to receive anything from God, we receive it the same way that we receive salvation. By our response, by receiving what God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And just think about it naturally. I mean, just naturally speaking, Christmas time rolls around. Your spouse comes to you, or you spent all this time, you prepared the best Christmas present that you possibly could. You worked extra jobs just to be able to get it and stuck around just to be able to get the best present that you possibly could. And you present it to your spouse at Christmas time, and they look at it and they're like, eh. They don't even receive it. They don't even look at it. You know what I mean? How would you feel about it? Well, you certainly wouldn't do it again. Well, how do you think the Heavenly Father is? There are people all the time, they're like, yeah, God, I know you're talking to me, but they're not even saying that much, but this is essentially what they're saying by their actions. Yeah, I know you're talking to me, but I got this going on over here. I'm busy over here. God doesn't care about what you got going on. I said, God don't care what you got going on. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Am I going to get into that later? I think I am. If I get any further than I am right now, praise the Lord. So we understand this. Let's turn to Matthew 10. Glory to God. There's a lot of good stuff in there. I hope you're receiving something tonight. Because God wants to get some stuff over to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 10, we're going to start in verse 40. And we'll read all the way through verse 41. So Matthew 10, 40. Through 41. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just love getting to preach the word. I love coming down here. Glory to God. God is doing such a wonderful work here. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, such a good work. Thank you, Father, for it. Praise the Lord. Verse 40, Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 says, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. What does God say? What was Jesus saying here? He's saying if they receive you, and he's talking to ministers, people sending ministers out, if they receive what you say, they receive me. So in other words, if you don't receive the one whom God sent, you don't receive God. You can't receive from God if you don't receive the one who's... There are people, listen, one of the things the devil loves to do is try to get people all up in arms against the pastor or things that are preached. I know because I've been one of them. I've been one of them the devil has been able to use so many times. Not anymore, but he was so much. He would be able to use me in offense. He'd get me offended at what was said. What was I doing? He was getting me to not receive what was being preached. He was getting me to reject what was being said. Why? Because it was the word of God, and he knew that it would help me, that if I listened to it, so if he could get me into offense, that's what offense does every single time, is it blocks your reception. It blocks the receiver. You cannot receive if you're offended. Amen? Praise the Lord. How so? Because God speaks through the channels that he chooses to speak. He speaks through his word to the individual. He speaks through the Holy Spirit on the inside of us all, and he speaks through the fivefold ministry office. Right? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, right? He speaks through those ministry offices as well. So we see that God is speaking. He set up certain ways to speak. That's the way he does it. Why does he choose to do it that way? Because he wanted us to be part of it. Praise the Lord. And that's why Jesus said that if they receive you, they receive me. If they don't receive you, they don't receive me. And if they don't receive me, they don't receive the one who sent me. Praise the Lord. There are people that will receive nothing of the way that God set them up, praise the Lord, and then they don't receive anything that God has. They still go to God in prayer, but their prayers are fruitless. Why? Because they're not receiving the way God's doing it. This is important to receive these things. Am I preaching this for my own accord? No, I'm preaching this because it's the same thing. I still receive things. Just because I stand as a pastor doesn't mean that I don't need a pastor, and it doesn't mean that I don't need a prophet. It doesn't mean that I don't need an evangelist just because I'm a pastor. Hey, I know people that are prophets. It doesn't mean that they don't need pastors. It doesn't mean that they don't need evangelists. See, we all need the ministry offices. None of us are exempt from it. But how we receive from them determines what we receive from God. Praise the Lord. If we receive the word as truth, then we understand. My wife and I, when we first started coming to church, we came to Sundays. We were what Dr. Dufresne would call the SOBs. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We were SOBs. We were the Sunday-only bunch. That was all we ever went to church. We never went to any other service, never went to guest ministers, never went to midweek services, nothing. We were, Dr. Frank called them the SOBs, amen? Praise the Lord, the Sunday-only bunch. And what were we doing? We didn't get revelation of the things that we needed to receive. Now, if there's a service anywhere near us, we're generally there. Why? Because we're going to receive. We want to receive. Amen. We follow ministers around the nation. Praise the Lord. We will book vacations specifically at certain times when there's ministry conferences so we can receive. What are we doing? We're putting a high demand on the receiving of the call of God. We're saying that it's important enough to us to put everything else on hold and go there. Now, sometimes we might spend an extra day or two around there just so we can enjoy some family time and stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. But what we do is we plan things, praise the Lord, so we can receive, because we know that there's things that we will miss if we're not there. Right. Now, we can't be in every service, unfortunately, but I'll tell you, we would be if we could. Amen. Praise God, because we want to receive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The word receive means of a thing offered in speaking, teaching, instructing, to receive favorably, to give ear to embrace. I love this one. Make one's own, approve, not to reject. But I want you to think about that, to make it your own. Yes, the word that is preached, it's God and it's good, and I'm making it mine. It belongs to me. Praise the Lord. This is my word. Hallelujah. This is when you come to church with the intent of receiving the word that it's spoken to you. I'm coming today. You know what? We come to church and we're like, we always are like, and we need to do this more. Praise the Lord. Just write that down, but we need to do it more. Lord, and we always do anyways. But Lord, we are here to receive something from you today. I don't just come to church and sit in the seat and take up room. Praise the Lord. There's people that, you know what, they will just go through the motions just to be called a Christian. Yeah. They will even tithe. They will give. They will come through. They will do everything in order the way that they're supposed to, but they still miss God. How do they do that? Because they didn't come to receive. Why did you come to church? Did you come to church to get your weekly church duty in? Did you want your brown? There's people, praise the Lord, none of them here. Glory to God. But there's people that come up to me praise the Lord. There are people that come up to me that don't come up to that maybe don't come to church often, and they come up to me when they're there, and they act almost like, you know, like they've done something grand to be there. Now listen, I'm happy that they're there, but you understand you haven't received anything special just by showing up, because if you had understanding of what reception is. Coming to church is receiving from God every time. I'm receiving from God. I'm not there. Listen, no, we can be there, but I'm there to receive what God, the direction God has for me. Praise the Lord. That's what I want every time I come to church. That's how I prepare sermons, to receive, to be able to give out. Praise the Lord. So I seek the Lord, like even this message. Like I had this message, the base of this message, or the idea of what this message was going to be about, I had it early on the week. But last night, I think yesterday, as I started getting into it, I was like, Lord, you know, I seek the Lord. Who is this for? And of course, I knew it was for Corey. And the Lord always does that for me. He sorts out who they're for. But you understand, I want to know exactly what to give so that people receive it right as well. Amen? Because if I came here and preached a message, it had nothing to do with you. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I had a message for some people in Guam, amen? No, I mean, you can always get something out of a message, but you understand if I was preaching it for in the wrong context, you wouldn't receive for it with the people who are meant to receive from it. And if you're here tonight, I'm just telling you, this message is for you. Praise the Lord. We have Mayville people here tonight. Praise God for you. Guess what? You came to the right place at the right time. God's speaking to you tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that you came out on a Saturday night just shows that you are hungry. So don't let the devil tickle your ear and talk in your ear and tell you that, you know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, this is to take everybody here and just take us higher, because y'all doing real good. Amen. You came out in church on a Saturday night. Well, praise the Lord for you. Glory to God. See, I also find along the same lines that when I get something, that my family gets it as well. You know, that's like if you've ever noticed, if you have kids, isn't it funny how your kids will act just like you? They'll say things that you say, praise the Lord. Have you ever told your kid, oh, don't say that, out in public, but you know that they heard it from you? You know what I'm talking about? I have to tell my kids that all the time, amen? Praise the Lord. I'm like, you can't say that out in public because they wouldn't receive it very well, amen? You know, there is people who might receive something, but they won't receive it well, and that's a whole nother sermon. So we have to be careful of that sometimes, right? But there's truths to it. You will get certain mannerisms and certain actions. Praise the Lord. They start speaking what I speak because they receive me as an authority in their lives. Amen. And they will speak those same kind of things. Amen. You know, as a parent, we have to be careful. I mean, you can mess up some kids real quick if you ain't careful. You can get people thinking all kinds of crazy stuff. And there's people that do. Amen. And sometimes, I mean, when you look at, like, and to take this from a place of being kind of funny to a place of being kind of serious, when you think about some of these cults and stuff like this that people have brought their kids into, you know, it takes a lot of those kids years to get that garbage out of them. Why? Because they receive it. You know, Jesus said, receive as a child receives. Amen. It's important for us to receive things as a child receives. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want to receive a slower clock. That's what I want to receive. Amen. Praise God. But people will receive those things, you know, and they'll talk like you. They'll sound like you. And so we see this idea, this concept of reception and receiving. It works. We see it naturally all the time. Well, even more so, it's the way God set things up. Don't be surprised that it works this way with God, because He designed us. He made us to be receivers. Oh, I don't know. I just, something went off in my spirit when I said that. God made me to be a receiver. God made me to be a receiver. What does a receiver do? It gets something. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, they have those radar, those radar jammers and blockers. You know, they think they're called jammers and stuff like that. And they stop the signal from coming through. You remember they used to sell radar detectors and the radar and the blockers that would block the, so the radar wouldn't come through. But we aren't blockers, man. We've been made to be receivers. Yeah. So let's not be blockers, let's be receivers. Hallelujah. Let's receive what God has for us. Praise the Lord. You know what? If you get hold of this, you can take this pretty far. Because God's made you to receive. What do you need? Well, whatever you're asking for, you need to receive it. Amen? So if you've been made to receive, well, you just go like, hey, God, listen, I know you want to get this to me, and I know that I need this, praise the Lord. I just want you to know that I know that I'm a receiver, hallelujah, that I can receive this because you made me to be. I just want you to know that I know that you made me to be a receiver, hallelujah. And because I am a receiver, that means I can receive all that I'm believing for. And I thank you, Lord, for it. See, you start learning how to receive God's word, and you'll start learning how to receive the things that you need. You'll start learning how to receive those things in life that you're looking for. In fact, you can get so good of a receiver that you're not even going to God. You're just receiving it when it comes, just knowing that it's going to come. Because here's a little thing for you. I'm just going to throw out a little tidbit that you might not know. But you don't even need to ask for the things that you need, because Jesus promised that if you followed Him, He would bring you into the things you need. Hallelujah. You don't even need to ask for the things you desire, because the Bible says that He gives you the desires of your heart. Praise the Lord. When you follow Him, when you learn how to follow God, you learn how to receive from God. And when you learn how to receive from God, then you learn how to start doing everything other than praying for yourself. You can learn how to start praying for other people. Because guess what? Maybe they aren't receivers. But you say, I'm a receiver, so I'm going to pray for them instead of wasting time praying for myself. Because I know, Lord, that You're just going to give me what I need. And I'm going to pay. Listen, an antenna doesn't care what it's picking up. It picks it all up, doesn't it? Well, if you become a God antenna, if you become an antenna for God, then you're going to receive everything He said in your way. You won't need to ask for it. You'll just receive it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What do you spend your time doing? Then you spend your time focusing on the things that you need to focus on. See, this is how it works. This is how the kingdom of God works. Amen. Because God wants us blessed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is why kids sent to colleges end up going in wrong ways a lot of times. Not because all colleges are bad or that it's bad to send your kids to college. But parents don't send their kids to college with enough knowledge about reception to be able to block out the garbage that they shouldn't be taking. And now we got colleges that are full of these fools that are preaching stuff, and they're preaching. They're preaching a gospel. It's an unholy gospel. They're preaching stuff that's tearing our society apart, and people are soaking it up by the droves. They're taking things in that make absolutely no sense. If you noticed, if you looked around and saw anything that makes absolutely no sense happening, I'm telling you, I turn on the news daily and see things that make no sense that are happening. You know why they're happening? Because people are receiving from the wrong stuff. They don't know. They don't know how to block out the bad stuff. They don't know how to tune in. Praise the Lord. You know, it's like a bunch of, you know, on radio stations. You can have a bunch of different things on radio stations, but you got to tune and go to certain places to get certain things, don't you? If you want country, you go over here. If you want rock, you go over here. If you want jazz, you go over here. If you want the Christian radio station, you go over here. If you want talk radio, you go over here. You know how to work a radio. You need to learn how to work the internal radio that God put on the inside of you and start doing the learning how to receive from Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We need to know how to receive. We need to speak to God. We need to say, yes, Lord, I recognize that that's you. Praise the Lord. How do you recognize that it's God? Well, you know what? You spend enough time in this Word, and all of a sudden something bubbles up on the inside of your spirit. You know that it's God. You don't have any question that it's God. Why don't you have questions? Because you know the Word, and it bears witness with the Word. You have no need that any man should teach you, the Bible says, that you know the Word of God because you hear it, because it's something that's in you. That's exactly where all Christians need to get to. Amen. I don't know how you got me all fired up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But God is good. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not saying don't send your kids away, but you better know that when you're sending your kids away, you better know that it's the Lord when you do. Glory to God. I wouldn't send my kid to any one of these dirtbag liberal colleges. I'll just tell you the truth. Praise the Lord. It's going to teach them a bunch of garbage. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Better send them there with something that's solid so they're not coming out on the other side. Amen. Praise the Lord the way they are. Matthew 10:5. Hallelujah. We're in 40. Let's just go back to verse 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And get through at least verse 9 here. We're going to get further. It says, then these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. So as he's sending out his, right here, what he's doing is he's sending out his disciples. He's saying, go out, but don't go the way of the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What is he saying? He told them, he commanded them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to go to the Jews. This is not our same command. Now, there's a lot of things that we're going to get out of this that do apply to us, but there has been a change. What was the change? We know because Jesus had to be sent to the Jews so the Jews could reject him, so he could come to the rest of us so we could receive him. Amen? Praise the Lord. So now, so that's a little bit of the change there that's happened. Amen? It goes on to say, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. The Bible says to preach as you go. Preach as you go. Preach as you go. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm supposed to go. Well, the Bible says there's a couple places in the Bible, or a lot of places, where it says to go. It says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. The Bible tells us to go into all the world, lay hands on the sick. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, cast out demons, tells us to do all that. Amen. That's part of the Great Commission, is going into all the world. The Bible says that in Ephesians 4, it tells us that the ministry offices are to prepare us to go out for the work of the ministry. Glory to God. So I'm just telling you, you're supposed to be sent. Amen. And as you go, preach. That's speak. That's proclaim. That's to speak out. That's to shout. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When you preach, I'm preaching tonight. In case you know what preaching is, this is what preaching is. Hallelujah. Preach is when you get fired up. Preach is when you speak out. Preaching is when you do what you're supposed to do. Preaching is shouting amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So as you go preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? God is invading your space right now. That's what you're supposed to say. So you're supposed to go up to people. I mean, you got to use a little tact. You understand? You want to be led by the Spirit. But we're supposed to let people know that what I'm about to say is from the kingdom of God. That this is what God does. This is how God says it. This is how God wants it. Praise the Lord. And if you get hooked up, you'll see the things that God wants, that you want God to do in your life. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does he to command him to do? He says, heal the sick. Heal the sick. He said, go out, preach, and then heal the sick. Yeah. What does this happen? I don't know. I don't see a lot of healing the sick in the churches. People say, well, this is just for that time. Well, I don't know. I said, Bible says that we got better, a better covenant based on better promises. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Yeah. When was the last time that happened in church? Hallelujah. Yeah. When was the last time that happened outside of church? How many raisings of the dead have you heard? People think it's crazy. Why? Because they don't see it. And they don't see it because people aren't going out bold. People aren't preaching it. People aren't learning that they got the power of God. And you know what else they're not doing? They're not receiving the direction to go out and to do this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You can't give what you haven't received. You can't put out what you don't receive. How are you going to heal the dead if you don't know that you can do that? How are you going to know that you can that you can cast out demons unless you've been shown how, unless you've been told how? See, this is why the church looks the way the church does. Yeah, the church looks like a beat up sorry wimp. Hallelujah. That's what it looks like. We need power back in the church, folks. And it ain't going to do it unless people start receiving it. They say, well, I got to receive the power. I want the power. God, me. Pick me. Amen. We love this song. Praise the Lord. This one song that I just recently got, it's questioning the Lord. Who will you send, Lord? Is it me? Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you. Say, it is me. Praise the Lord. We just turn it right around. Say, it is me. Send me, Lord. I'll go. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper and money in your money belts. I'm going to stop there for a second. I did a little study on this. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. What's it mean by all this? Basically, what it means is this. Do not spend your lives making provision for self-support before obeying the call of God. Do not wait to save so much money or even until you have an extra coat or shoes. Go when you are called and you will be supplied. You do what the call says regardless of what the bank account says. You do what the call says regardless of what anything else around you says. You do what God is calling you to do. This is why it's important for Christians to receive. They need to know how to receive from God. You need to, because if you don't know how to receive instruction, you won't know how to receive provision. Praise the Lord. And so you get the instruction, you get the provision. I want to share a scripture with you I came across years ago, and I just love this scripture because it spoke so much to me. It's Ecclesiastes 11:4. It says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. What does this scripture mean? It's basically saying this, is that if you look for a perfect, opportune time, you will never, ever have it. You'll never do anything. Why? Because there is no opportune times. You take your time. You take your opportunity. You make your opportunity. You make it happen, praise the Lord. You don't wait for it to happen. You know what happens to a person who sits around and waits to get rich? They stay poor their entire life. Why? Because ain't nobody just going to make you rich. Ain't nobody going to just drop it off to your lap. That's not the way that it works. Hallelujah. What do we know? What do we know beyond anything? Is that if you want to increase, you got to work. You got to do something for it. You got to put out if you want to get back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So people that are waiting to people who are waiting to just receive it from the standpoint of just have it appear, they're not going to do it. They have to be people that learn how to receive it. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus was directing them. He's saying, don't even take anything with you. Don't worry about taking anything with you. That's how he sent the Bible says that he sent them out with nothing. Yeah. He sent them with nothing. Yeah. Praise the Lord. When we come out to Corey, at least Corey got something. Mayville's sending them something. They're sending him a pastor that's paid. Praise the Lord. They're sending them people that are they're helping out. They're selling them a building, all this stuff. We got so much more than they did. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we do. We're not meeting out in tents. Amen. Isn't everybody glad for that tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This building stays a lot warmer than tents do. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus said, don't go out with anything. Just go with what you're sent with. Man, praise the Lord. Verse 10, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs. For a worker is worthy of his food. In other words, the one who goes out, he should be able to receive from just going out. Praise the Lord, because they're working. Now look what it says here, and I'm not even going to go into all that tonight. Praise the Lord, you get mad at me. But verse 11, now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. That's interesting. Inquire who's worthy of you coming in there. And basically the way they did it back then was who was going to be worthy of letting you in their house and would supply you while you were there. Yeah, that's what it's talking about. It's saying when you go out, that's what Jesus said, inquire, find out somebody who's worthy. Praise the Lord. I love how it uses worthy there. Amen. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. This is what Jesus was directing. He was saying, when you go out, if they don't receive you, so be it. Yeah. Take what you got and go. Like, don't leave your prayers. No, you don't pray for people that, listen, you don't pray for people that are unfaithful. Right. That get me in a lot of trouble in a lot of circles. Right. Yeah, I mean, he's like, don't even bother with it. Listen, this is what Jesus said. You know, somebody who, you know, it's like people that won't give in to the offering plate, ever give it to them. I'm just going to tell you right now. Jesus said you're not worthy. People who won't help supply the work. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I could go into examples of this. I ain't going to go into there because I want to get into other things. Amen. When you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. Praise the Lord. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Don't even think about it. Hallelujah. Don't even think about it. Shake off the dust from your feet. Praise the Lord. Surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for that land, for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. If you didn't know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, it's real easy. There were evil cities, praise the Lord, and they were destroyed by fire from above. They had fire and brimstone rain down on them. They were destroyed. The Bible says that it would be more tolerable for them than someone who don't receive you. Wow. Now, in context, what am I talking about? Who's receiving the word of God? Who people who won't receive it. People will answer for not receiving it. They will answer it. God will say, I sent people to you. And you didn't listen. You didn't do anything. You didn't connect to what I was doing. You didn't hear what I had to say. And they'll try to come in. He said, my word says. My word says, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And John 6:68 says, but Simon Peter answered him, Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life, of eternal life. Praise the Lord. He said, where else should we go? Jesus, you know, in context, Jesus had just said that he had just had a bunch of people leave him. Jesus said, you guys want to go too? Because I am not stopping to preach what I was preaching. I'm going to continue in the truth that I was, because it's the truth that sets people free. It isn't you candy coating everything or trying to sugarcoat it just to make somebody happy, to please somebody, to keep somebody, or whatever. It's none of that stuff. It was the bold preaching of the word. He said, who else has the words of eternal life? Yeah. Notice he said the words of eternal life. Yeah. The words. Yeah. What are words? They're something that is spoken. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's the same thing with us. If we don't speak out the word, that's where eternal life is. It is in the speaking of it. You know, we know Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You have to say something. You have to receive it. And in your saying is when you show that you receive it. When you say, yes, Jesus is my Lord, you are receiving him unto yourself. You have to speak it. The Bible says you have to speak it. Remember in the book of Genesis, the beginning, in the book of beginnings, in Genesis 1, it says like around 8 times or something like that, it says, and God said, God said, God said. He could have gone down, got his hands muddy, could have got them dirty, but he didn't do all that. That's a lesson to us. Listen, we need to follow God said and not God, you know, overworked. You know what I mean? So many people are trying to overwork to make things happen. You can do that even in ministry. You can try to make things happen. How about just receive what God said. You speak the things you're supposed to speak, and then receive what God does, because he brings the increase. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to turn with me to Mark 6. Glory to God. Mark 6. Surely, I had more scriptures even to use today, and I didn't put them in because I thought I'd get just through these. Praise the Lord. But you know how it goes, right? Mark 6, verse 1. Amen. I don't know why we're surprised. Glory to God. You're not. I'm not either. Hallelujah. Mark 6, 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, praise the Lord. That word, if you really research that, they were offended by it. They were about, how can this guy say these things? And then you'll see that here. Look at, but they were offended, or they were astonished, saying, they spoke, right? This is the opposite of receiving what God had for them, and they were showing it by what they were saying. Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there. Everybody said he could do no mighty work. Why could he do no mighty work? They weren't receiving him. They wouldn't receive him as prophet. They wouldn't receive him as the minister. They weren't receiving him as help. Praise the Lord. They received him as the carpenter, the dude down the street. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I have to be careful how much time I spend sometimes with people in my church, because if I spend too much time with them, people can get familiar, and then they can start seeing my human side, because guess what? I got a human side. Praise the Lord. Why are you looking like that when you're not? And she's like, oh, yeah, he does. Oh, man. Baby, hallelujah. But see, seriously, we got human sides, and you have to be careful, because people will say, if the pastor does this or whatever, you know, praise God. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it with high, but you understand that you have to think about these things, because people can just, they start looking at you as buddy, and then they can't receive anything from you. Jesus said to them that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Why did he go teach? Because he had to teach them the word of God to try to get them to do what was right. Now I heard an interesting take on this. So we see that he could do no mighty work because they were bound by their unbelief. But also their unbelief would keep them from bringing people. If you don't believe that there's power in the church, why would you bring anybody? Why would you plead with anyone? If you don't believe that people are actually going to hell, I mean, I'm telling you what, if we all believe the scripture, the way the scripture talks about hell, probably every one of us would quit our jobs and do nothing but try to get people in the church. Why? Because there's people going to hell every single day. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. We need to think about these things. Distraction will keep us from receiving the things that God has us to do. And the whole time, people are going to hell. They're going without because the church isn't doing it. Wow. Look at this. Hebrews 4:2 says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. They didn't receive it. They didn't mix it with faith. What is faith? Faith starts with what you believe, or what you speak. How do we know that? Because Jesus said in Mark 11:23 that what you believe what you believe is what you say, and what you say is what you'll have. Yeah. Amen. We see in Romans 10:9 that you have to confess, you have to speak out. Jesus is Lord. It has to be something that comes out of your mouth. Otherwise, you don't receive it. Faith is what you say. Yeah. What you speak is what you believe. Yeah. I said, what you speak is what you believe. Yeah. So when you're receiving, if you've received, you're going to speak. What you're speaking out is what you've received in. Yeah. Amen. That's why people who fill up more in the world than they do of God, they don't speak the words of life. They don't speak those words of life to Jesus. Jesus was full of God and the Holy Spirit. That's why he spoke the words of life. Amen. of eternal life. Amen. Excuse me. And the same thing goes with us. Do we speak the words of eternal life, or are we just speaking, you know, whatever's going on in life, whatever's happening, whatever? See, are we receiving from God? It matters that we actually receive from God. Praise the Lord. I know I'm getting close here. Let me just flip over here real quick. Go to Matthew 12. We're fixing to close. Amen. Remember what that means. You've received enough to know what does fixing to close mean. It does mean nothing, but we are getting close. Hallelujah, real close. I promise you. But you're right. It means nothing. Matthew 12, verse 35 through 37. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of an evil treasure brings forth evil things. Well, how do you get a treasure stored up? It's by what you've received. What have you received in? See, because whatever you're bringing out is what you've received in. If you're receiving good things, then what comes out is good things. But if you've been receiving garbage, then what's going to come out is garbage, right? Amen. Hallelujah. This isn't hard. Praise the Lord. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. But the treasure comes from reception, receiving it in. We have to, this is such an important thing. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. By your words. Your words are your faith. Your words are what you've received. Your words are what you still receive. You want us to know, you look at what you've been receiving, look at what you've been saying. Hallelujah. What have you been, what do you see in your life? Do you see nothing but disaster and trouble and trial? Then look at what you've been saying. Think about it. Think about what you say. If you've been speaking the wrong things, then what you're going to have in your life is the wrong things. Because what you say is ultimately what you will receive. Praise the Lord. Because it's what you believe. It's where your faith is. Well, glory to God. We're going to close with this. Luke 4:4. Praise God. Jesus answered him. Look at you. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Remember, words are spoken. They're the things that we speak out. What we receive is what we believe. What we take in, what we speak, is what we've received. We can't speak, because out of the good treasure of our heart, we can't speak things that aren't there. So only what you've received in is what you'll take, is what you'll put out. Amen. And what you put out is what you'll receive back. Ultimately, it's like it's like this. If you want oranges, you plant oranges. If you want apples, you plant apples. If you want corn, you plant corn. Hallelujah.